بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as the month of Ramadan progresses and we find that our Quran tilawat increases, our nights are spent in Taraweeh, Salah, and in general, there's an increase in our levels of ibadat. There's extra zikr in our day and night. We are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more frequently. And each and every person finds on some level, in some way or the other, that he's moving closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he's gaining some sort of ma'rifat, some sort of recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that he's gaining some form of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to every condition that insan goes through, then there is always a gauge, an indicator, by which a person can gauge his progress and measure his achievements. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to guide, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up his chest and his heart towards Islam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this, that inna an-nura idha dakhala as-sadra infasaha, that when the nur of iman enters the heart of a person, then his heart and chest expands so that it may bear the nur of iman. So sahaba radiyallahu anhum asked that, O Rasul of Allah, hal li dhalika min alamatin, is there any sign, any way by which we may gauge how much of the nur of iman has come into our heart, whether we have what is known as sharh as-sadr? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned three things. The first being at-tajafi an dar al-ghurur. The first sign, the first way that a person may gauge that he has now moved closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that he has sharh as-sadr, is that he starts to become disinclined and unattracted towards this world and the items of this world. Whereas previously his day and night, his worry and concern was how he could amass the things of this world, how he could on a general level increase and improve his standard of living. Now he finds that he is not interested in this. He is unattracted towards the things of this world. And together with this, al-inabatu ila daril khulud, that this person now becomes inclined towards the akhirat and preparation for the akhirat. So where previously he would wake up with the rising of the sun, now he is in the masjid for fajr salah. Where previously he would start his day with the newspaper and finding out what is happening in the rest of the world, now he starts his day with Surah Yasin, with tilawat of the Quran. And where previously we find that a person's Zuhar Salah, Asr Salah would be read in his business, sometimes Salah would become Qaza. Now we find that prior to the Azan also he's preparing. He's getting ready to come to the masjid to perform his Salah. So he starts to prepare for the Akhirat, he starts to do those Ahmal and those actions which will stand him in good stead in the hereafter. And with this, the third thing, the third sign is that Al-Isti'adadu Lil-Mawti Qabla Nuzuli, that a person begins to prepare for maut, for death, before the time of death comes. Yesterday we had mentioned regarding physical preparation for death, that a person has his affairs in order, he has a valid shar'i will. Now a person begins to spiritually prepare for death. That is, he has any qaza saraz, or any outstanding fasts, so he starts to cover up. Or he owes money to somebody, so he starts to make arrangements to pay this person off. And he gets his a'mal in order. So that when Malakul Maut comes, when the time of death comes, he is ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these three gauges, these three yardsticks, that al-tajafi an dar al-ghurur, wal-inabatu ila dar al-khulud, wal-isti'adadu lil-mawti qabla nuzuli, that a person is turned away from this world, and he turns his attention towards the akhirat, and he starts to prepare for death. These are yardsticks by which we can gauge our progress. As the month of Ramadan progresses, how much of these qualities have come into our lives? Thereafter in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a verse in which 10 commandments or 10 prohibitions have been mentioned, regarding which Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu used to say that if a person wishes to see a special will and a special bequest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should recite these verses. And these commandments, these prohibitions are such that not only were they given to this ummah, but Ka'b al-Ahbar, who was a very prominent Jewish rabbi prior to his acceptance of Islam, he says that the Torah, the book of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, also began with these 10 prohibitions, these 10 commandments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ, instructing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that say, let me recite to you those things which your Lord has forbidden upon you. The first of it is that Allah tushriku bihi shay'a, that you do not ascribe anything as partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one hand, we know when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what we call shirke jali, when a person ascribes partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand is something which is called shirke khafi, that a person in his conviction, his faith, his reliance, he places this on people or things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the advice to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and he said to him that wa'lam anna al-ummata law ijtama'u ala an yanfa'uka bi shay' lam yanfa'uka illa bi shay'in qad katabahu Allah lak. He says that know well that if the entire ummah, all the insan and jinnat, with all the technology, all the resources of this world pulled together, if they have to all come together to try and benefit you in any way, they will be unable to benefit you except to that degree which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded for you. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. And at the same time, if they have to come together and pull all their resources together to try and cause you any harm, then لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. They will not be able to harm you in any way except to that extent which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed against you. So for us to protect ourselves from shirk jali and shirk khafi, that is in our worship, in our ibadat, we don't ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time in our reliance, our trust, our faith and conviction, we don't ascribe anything else to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that be obedient to your parents. And this command of being obedient to parents is something which is joined to the obedience and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the whole Quran. Allah tushriku bihi shay'an wa bil walidayni ihsana. In one verse Allah says, wa qada rabbuka alla ta'budu illa iyyah wa bil walidayni ihsana. That do not worship anyone besides Allah, and at the same time be obedient to your parents. Anishkur li wa li walidayk. In another verse Allah says, be grateful to me and be grateful and show gratitude to your parents. When it comes to obedience of parents, then we find that this command is something which is not only restricted to those whose parents are alive. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also taught us that someone whose parents have passed away, then there are three ways by which a person can be regarded as an obedient child. The first is that a person makes istighfar, seeks forgiveness on behalf of his parents. In one hadith it is mentioned that a person will be in his qabr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him to a very high level, a very high stage. This person will then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that why have you given me such a high level, such a high stage? The reply will come that this is due to your child seeking forgiveness on your behalf. So the first way that a person can become an obedient child, even though his parents have left this world, is that he seeks forgiveness on their behalf. The second way is that a person sends isal al-thawab. He recites Quran, he does some good action, and he sends the sawab, the reward of it, to his deceased parents. And the third way that a person can be regarded as an obedient child is that he keeps up those relationships with the friends and acquaintances of his parents after their demise. And then thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ, that do not kill your children out of fear of poverty. And we know that in the time of Jahiliyyah, this was a custom which was quite prevalent amongst the Arabs, that due to the stigma in society that was attached to a person having a daughter, they used to bury their daughters alive. But here Quran alludes to a different reason. A person would bury his child alive, or would try not to have children due to the fear of being unable to provide for his children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets a person's mind at ease and says, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ, we are the providers for you and for your children. So this is not a valid reason for a person not to have children, or for a person to kill his children. And it is under this command that Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah has mentioned another verse that also comes in the 8th para, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that those people who did not have iman and who lacked the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah refers to them as maitan, people who are dead. So under this ayat, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah says that those parents in today's time may not be physically killing their children or taking away their lives, but that parent who deprives his child of a good, of a deeni upbringing, of deeni education, of good morals and values, he says that this parent is also guilty of falling under this verse, that do not kill your children. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to those people who do not have iman, who do not have imani education and morals, as dead people. So this is an advice for us also in today's time, that although nobody will think of killing his child physically, at the same time, many times we make sacrifices with regard to our children's deeni education. Monday there is soccer, Tuesday there is arts classes, Wednesday there is tuition, and all of this at the expense of their deeni ta'alim, at the expense of them learning how to read Quran, learning how to perform salah, learning the basic masail of sharia. So for us to try and ensure that we may be elderly, we did not learn all these things in our life, but we have our children and we can show them the right direction. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.